I got a double dose of that today. I am really blessed. That was very sweet. Thank you, Michael and Danielle and sweet Angel. And thank you, Nate and Nate. You bless us. Thank you. So here we are. It is Christmas time, our second week of Advent. As John reminded us, we looked last week at hope and how because God keeps his promises, we have hope. This week we look at love. But you know, there's a lot of different ideas about what love is. We're going to talk about what love is from God's perspective, from a biblical standpoint this morning. Will you pray with me? Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we're bringing our hearts to you today, which is what you say you really want. Well, Lord, we're not done. Lord, as we've exalted you and enthroned you in song and in giving, we want to exalt and enthrone you now by our response to you through your holy word. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you move in us? Lord, if it's one strong spike, would you drive it down deep into our souls that we would take away what you have for us, Lord, not some fact. Lord, we want to be changed. We want to follow you closer. We want to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, now we ask that you would do that. Lord, would you give us ears that are quick to hear and hearts that are soft to receive? Oh, Lord, help us. We love you. We want to follow you. Thank you that you are our adequacy. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we started looking last week. We started looking last week at hope and this week love. But the question is, what is love? What is love? You know, if you look at pop culture, you'll see lots of different ideas about love. If you listen to pop culture songs, for instance, you'd come away with two big ideas, that love is emotional and probably sensual. You know, in English and here in the U.S., we say, well, I love pizza, and we say, I love my mother. That's like, we need some more words here, don't we? So what is love? Is love just emotional? Well, there's certainly an emotional aspect to love, but it's more the symptom than the disease. So what is love? Well, let's look at the scripture. Let's see from the Word of God. What is love? I've put up on the board for you here, 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. So right there we see it. How do we know what love even is? Well, God says we know what love is because Jesus did it. And what did he do? Well, we just commemorated it a few minutes ago when we took the Lord's Supper. What did he do? He sacrificed. He gave himself. He didn't sacrifice on somebody else's behalf. It was pure and wholehearted self-sacrifice. So our working theme for the day is love is sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. It's not just an emotion. It's certainly not just a sensual thing. So far from the truth. So far. So what I want to do is give us two ideas today. Really just two ideas that help us kind of try to capture. So what does it mean to sacrifice? How is love sacrifice? And what does that look like? So I've got two very straightforward, very simple ideas. The first is this. Secret sacrifice. Secret sacrifice. You know, I actually looked this up. I did some research because I don't like to share things, even a story or something. I don't like to share something from the pulpit if I can't confirm that it's actually so, unless it's just a joke or something, you know? Have you heard that years ago, missionaries, when churches or individuals would give to missionaries, especially missionaries from the UK, if they were in parts of the world where you couldn't get tea, that people would actually use tea bags and then dry them out and then ship them off to missionaries. I mean, I had heard that before. Well, I think I've confirmed it. I mean, it's actually true. after the first service, some people came to me and said, it's true, that they were actually a part of a church that did it. I think, you know, if love is sacrifice, where's the sacrifice in using tea bags and then sending them to missionaries? There's something lacking. Now, to be sure, is the missionary getting something that they didn't have before? Well, yes. But is it sacrifice? Oh, my goodness. Their sacrifice might mean, I'm not even sure this would be sacrifice. I guess it depends on your situation. But certainly to use the tea bags, to take the first and the best cut, and then to pass along the dregs, so to speak, no pun intended, how is that sacrifice? Well, it's not. It's not. Can you give a gift of love that's not sacrificial? Absolutely. But for our purposes today, what we want to look at is the way God looks at love. Not just the way he defines it, but the way he does it. And then the way he calls us to it. So love is sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. It's not tea bags and things like that. So we have a friend with us in town. She's sitting right down here with my bride and little Faith. Her name is Sharon Leatherwood. She's a dear friend of ours. She came in to visit. We know her from Houston, but now she lives with her husband in Spain. This is a picture of them in front of their 500-year-old house. It is beautiful. It is really, really sweet. But I'm sure, you know, probably cold and maybe a little drafty, things like that too, Sharon. Well, years ago, back in 2006, I first met Dan Leatherwood. He'd been in Spain at that time, well, probably 15 years or so. I don't know, close to it. It's been a long time. And when I first met Dan, I met him one summer, and then the following summer, I took a bunch of youth and adults over to Spain to work in this Christian camp there, where what we would do, it's a great idea, what we would do is it's a cowboy camp. And so cowboys, kind of the theme, which was great, you know, taking a bunch of Texans, right? So the Spanish kids are getting genuine, well, actually they're Houstonians, so there aren't really many cowboys in Houston, but the Spanish kids didn't know that. We all had our cowboy hats and our spurs on, you know. But what they do is they use learning English, especially American English, as a vehicle for the gospel of Jesus. It's great. We were just talking the other night about how what they do at the camp, they learn scripture songs. So how they learning? They're learning scripture songs. They put little hand motions to them and stuff. There's one, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that we looked at recently. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. It's great. Well, this is how I know Dan Leatherwood. When I first met Dan, that second summer when I knew him, when we got to work together for 3 weeks in the gospel, trying to reach Spanish kids and their families, there's one big thing that Dan would say all the time. He'd say, God knows. God knows. And he would say that about, you know, let's say there's some struggle or some problem had arisen or some situation that was, you know, kind of throwing a monkey wrench into the works. And Dan's patent response of faith was, God knows. God knows. And that'll preach right there, all on its own. But, you know, for our context today, if love is sacrifice, and if sacrifice in this context, if it should be secret, then the idea that God knows, well, that helps me. That helps me. That helps me. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we see three different times. Okay, we'll go through these quickly. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, right out of the mouth of the Lord, smack in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he doesn't say, don't practice your righteousness before men. Well, then, what would we be doing before men? He says, check your motive. We got to be careful of our motive. That's the point here. He says, otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. So when you, first one, give to the poor. He says, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And here's the kicker, and your Father who sees in secret. These are some of my favorite verses. You'll hear them again from this pulpit. Because what they do is they help us to choose how we go about what we do. He says, And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret. You know, I got to tell you, I shared this in first hour. I don't like making the bed. Okay, and my wife who's sitting right here, she'll verify that. Sorry, babe. I don't like making the bed. I think there's still a lot of little boy in me that just says, we're going to mess it up again tonight. Come on, what's the point? Thank you. I feel the love. You know, I know I shouldn't think that way, but I have a hard time breaking out of it sometimes, you know. No, we have a guest in our home, so we've been making the bed a little more. So there you go, Sharon, just for you. But I'll tell you, there are times when I make the bed and I'm not helping my wife. In other words, sometimes she's there and she's doing it, and so I'll help her. But if she's not there, it's rare that I make the bed. In other words, if she's already gotten up and she's getting her workout in or whatever. But the few times that I do make the bed all by myself, you know what I often do? Hey, babe, did you notice? Do-do-do-do. I'm sounding the trumpet. Look what I did. Do I get points? But you know what? If love is sacrifice, that trumpet thing doesn't work, does it? It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. So he goes on to say here in Matthew, not only when we give to the poor, but also when we pray. He says, you're not to be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Now bump down to verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There it is again. Your Father who sees in secret, he'll take care of you. So if love is sacrifice, and if we're not supposed to be blowing the trumpet, what that takes is faith. I've got to rest in the fact that my Father who sees in secret, what I do in secret, he will take care of me. I don't need to be looking for points here and now. You know what? If I'm going to get rewarded, I would rather have reward there than here. Amen? What a much better reward. Not to mention, it simply purifies my motives. When I make the bed, this is a simple, silly, but it's still true. When I make the bed, if I'm doing it to bless my wife, it's going to bless her regardless. I don't need to blow a trumpet. I don't need to bring it to her attention. She's going to see. And what does it matter if it was me or one of the kids or whoever? Finally, he says in one more area, he says, but you, when you fast. Now, you know what? When we give to the poor or when we pray, you know, many of us here may not think that that's really sacrificial. You know, you may be able to do some of those things and you may feel like it's sacrificial. I don't know too many people who fast who don't think of fasting as sacrificial. It's awfully close to home. And yet Jesus says the same thing. He says, but you, when you fast, and notice as well, he says that he's assuming that we'll fast. He says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't wear it out loud when you're fasting, right? For them to anoint their head and wash their face, it'd be like us taking a shower, putting on clean clothes, and not walking in the rain going, I suppose. Like Eeyore, right? It means we show up, we're fasting, and we count it joy. There's sacrifice, but it's not a burden. And look what he says. But your Father who's in secret, he'll see. He'll see. So for you and for me, how can we do this thing? How can we do this thing of being secret in our sacrifice? Well, we have this thing in the U.S. we do in different places, you know, called Secret Santa. Well, how about this? Become a secret saint. Become a secret saint. And don't become a secret saint so that you can give some little trifle so that someone can then try to figure out who you are. No, remember, God knows. Your Father who sees in secret, he's got you. It's all good. He's got you. So instead, what if you were to try to be a secret spouse? Now, don't take that the wrong way. Say, hey, pastor said we should have a secret spouse. No. No-ness. Not that. But what if you considered? What if you thought? What if you prayed? What if you said, you know, Lord, I live with this spouse. Maybe you already know the ways that you could be a blessing to them, or maybe you're not sure. Maybe you need some help. But either way, you could talk to the Lord. You could say, Lord, how could I be a blessing? How could I love my spouse without sounding the trumpet? How could I be a blessing to my spouse in ways that I know will be a blessing to them? in ways that I don't have to, you know, kind of seek, try to get the score for it. How can I be a secret spouse, so to speak? What about a sibling? Now, like right down here, I see we got the Kidner brothers over here, and I'm sure that you guys always get along perfectly. But so just hypothetically, if there were ever a struggle between the three of you, not that there would be, because you guys, actually, you guys really are, all kidding aside, you guys are good guys. But you know, what if not only physical siblings, what if all of us, because we're siblings, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, the Bible tells us. What if we chose to be a secret sibling? What if we chose to be a secret sibling? You know, talk about sacrificial. What if you chose to be a secret sibling to someone that you have a hard time with? What if you chose to bless sacrificially someone who you struggle with? You know what? I really believe that that would enthrone Jesus in our hearts pretty well. Another idea, what about being a secret neighbor? You say, gosh, Mike, I don't even know my neighbors. What better way to get to know your neighbors than to just seek to bless them without tooting the horn? You know, I really do believe that as we bless people, the Lord gives us a heart for those people. If we wait, say, well, I'll bless them when I get a heart for them. No, no, no. You got to flip the script. It's got to be, Lord, I'll choose to serve out of love, and you give me your heart. All right? One last idea. What about where you work? Could you be a secret coworker? Here again, not for some game at the office party for Christmas time, not that. How could you be a blessing to those with whom you work? How could you be a blessing to those people in ways that are sacrificial? I got ahead of myself. I already mentioned costly sacrifice, but here's the second idea. Costly sacrifice. True sacrifice is costly. Let's look at 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. Okay, what's going on here is King David he numbered the people, God judged him, and a lot of people died. And God stopped the judgment at the threshing floor of a fellow named Arauna. Okay? So David goes to make sacrifice. He wants to buy this threshing floor, this area, okay? And he wants to make sacrifice. Well, he goes to Arauna. Arauna is out at that moment, and he's got his oxen out pulling the threshing sledge, right? So you've got oxen, and you get this a lot of wood. And Arauna says, "No, no, no! You're my king. You can't. Your money's no good here. Here, the land is yours." Take the threshing sledge, bust it up, make that the fire, take the oxen, cut them up, offer them as sacrifice. No, no, it's all yours, king. And this is David's response. He says, the king said to Arauna, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. And here's the principle at work. For I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. God's kind of love is sacrifice. And for us, it would be both secret and costly. And costly sacrifice. Here, David says, there's no way, Arauna. And he gives him a lot of silver to buy the land. What about you and me? What would costly sacrifice look like? Here in Deuteronomy 17, you shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to your God. Detestable, that's pretty strong language. What we see here is we simply see God's heart with respect to sacrifice. Here again, I'm not saying you can't love someone in a way that's not sacrificial. You can bless someone, you can give a good gift that's easily within your means, whether it's, you know, relationally or financially or time-wise, that's possible. And that doesn't lessen the gift. But if we're looking at sacrifice, that has to be costly. It's the nature of the beast. Sacrifice is costly. And God says here, it's detestable to me for you to bring a blemish. In other words, don't give me your seconds. Don't give me your used tea bags. Here in Malachi chapter 1, same idea. Now, Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi is a book, the whole book, it's a book of indictment against Israel and the leadership of the nation Israel. And here, this is still in the context of the priests. This is tough. Look what he says. He says, but cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, his battle name. God is really serious about this. He's really God. We don't bring him our leftovers. So what I want us to see here is the principle of costly sacrifice. I've got an idea for you, and it's a gift guide for Christmas. A gift guide for Christmas. You say, you know, our pastor gave us a gift guide for Christmas this year, but it's not the kind of stuff that you can do on Amazon Prime, okay? So what if you and I chose to give a sacrificial gift, a secret and a costly gift to the Lord? Maybe something that no one else could even know about. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Okay, now remember what we commemorated here. We do believe in physical sacrifice. We do. We just believe that it's been done once for all. It was Jesus. That's why there's no altar here. That's why we don't bring bulls and heifers and ewes and lambs. We don't do that anymore. Because the one sacrifice that covers it all, actually that takes our sin away, has been made once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. It's been done. There's no altar here. That's a communion table. There's no altar here. This is just a meeting house. But we do still make sacrifice, and God still calls us to sacrifice, but in a different way. It used to be that you and I, if we were Old Testament Israelites, we would bring an animal or a drink offering, a libation, or a grain offering. We would bring something, but usually an animal, to cover over our sin temporarily. We would bring that animal, and that animal would be killed, and it would be laid upon the altar and burned. Well, now the picture changes. Now he calls us to present our own selves, our own bodies, as a sacrifice to God. Not just holy, but look what he says, living. We're to be a living sacrifice. Now, you know the problem with a living sacrifice. I keep crawling off the altar. That's the hard part. But that's what he's called us to. I wonder, is there something that you're already maybe even aware of? Maybe there's an area of your life where you know, maybe you're not sure, but for most of us, I think we do know the areas where the Lord would call us to lay ourselves on the altar, to bring this aspect, this thing in our lives, and entrust it to him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That we would lay ourselves out on the altar and say, God, I'm going to entrust myself to you in this way, in this area of my life where I'm struggling. Maybe it's a sin I can't beat. Maybe it's some relational hurt I can't get over. Maybe you're struggling to trust God because God calls us to do crazy things by faith. Whatever it may be, if there's something you're already aware of, what kind of gift would it be? Remember, this is Christmas. This is Jesus' birthday. You and I would never go to a birthday party without bringing a present for the birthday boy. What will you give to Jesus this year? What part of you, what aspect of your life will you entrust to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know what? I know that this will please you better than the blood of bulls and goats. This will please you better than a check. I give you myself. In this part of my life, I'm going to hand me over to you in a new way, and I'm going to rest in you. So there's an idea for your gift giving this year. One other gift guide this year. How about loving others? 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. It's Christmas time. He has sent him into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, big 50-cent word. Here's what it means. It means the wrath of God, the righteous wrath of God against our sin has been satisfied. What a beautiful picture. And Jesus was the sacrifice that satisfied the righteous wrath of God. He says, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see what God just did there? It's what he always, always does. Anything God ever calls us to, it never starts with us. Hey, Mike, you're supposed to do this. Now get after it. It never works that way. It always starts with God. He's always the power behind it. He's always the Holy One calling me forward to it. And here, he's not just our example. He's the one who made the way. Jesus is the way for me to love the way God loves. God loves me with this crazy love, and now he calls me to love you. And he calls us to love one another. What kind of gift could you give this year to somebody right here? And I don't mean something you can put a physical bow on. What kind of gift could you and I give to the people that God has placed around us? A sacrificial, a costly, a secret gift. I'm going to close with this from John Stott. He says, a person's life is his most precious possession. Consequently, to rob him of it is the greatest sin we can commit against him, while to give one's own life on his behalf is the greatest possible expression of love for him. This, then, is the ultimate contrast. Cain's hatred issued in murder, and Christ's love issued in self-sacrifice. Christ's love that moved him to self-sacrifice. And why do we exalt Jesus? Why is Jesus the hero? Why do we celebrate this guy that was born 2,000 years ago, probably in what was like a cave? Why do we celebrate him? We celebrate him the same reason the angels in heaven celebrate him right here in Rev 5. Because he's the lamb that was slain. That's why he's worthy. That's why we exalt Jesus. That's what we're here for. Not just here in this meeting room. That's what we're here on this planet for. And that's what we'll do for the ages through eternity. That's what Christmas is about. And that's what he's called us to do. We exalt Jesus because he sacrificed himself for us. John, will you come close us out? Yeah.